gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. Why? Vacation finish line tomorrow. As I crawl on hands and knees. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoie, voice, Steve, DJ Moore. Or me, Stephanie Miller, like Tommy did, to say, Steph, rest in peace, Peter O'Toole, the lion in winter. Mm-hmm. Steph, one more time, I must have the Aquitaine. Chances are, to use this quote, growing slim at this point. That is true. All right. Let me get... I must have the Aquitaine.
And Peter O'Toole is no longer alive.
Right. Hey, it's right. That's probably will be the very last opportunity to use that impression.
Yes.
Although I still could say the Calalele is out in bloom again. Right?
What movie was that from?
Who knows? I can't remember. Maybe the same one? You know who will know?
Lion in Winter?
No. It's a different one. Carl. Carl Frisch.
Carl knows.
Goldfightstrategies.com.
Right. Exactly.
You gotta go down way beyond Golden Pond. Carl Frisch, all my knight in shining armor.
Sorry, I'm working on my duck call.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No, the loons. The loons, they're welcoming us back.
The loons.
The loons.
No,
are you following this Duck Dynasty stuff?
Duck Dynasty,
for God's
yes.
sakes, yes.
So I've got the Robertson duck call down. If you bear with me, it's something like, I'm a homophobe.
Wow, that was good. Did you work on that long, Carl? That's
it brings all the rednecks to the yard.
What is the Calalele line from? Come on, you would know.
Is it from Rooster Cogburn?
No.
No. Oh, no. Carl Frisch.
Computer says no.
Sorry.
All right. explain the Duck Dynasty stuff to the folks that don't know. We talked about this yesterday.
For people that don't know, it's, I think, the highest rated reality show on television.
It is.
Right.
One of the highest rated television shows.
What is it about? It's a bunch of guys in fatigues pointing guns different places. I saw a picture of them. They look like ZZ
Top. It's about growing... beards for a ZZ Top cover band.
Right.
And I'm not sure, I've never seen it.
They're a family that invented a particular kind of duck call that became very popular and made them very, very rich.
Gotcha.
Great. And so, he had some thoughts on the gays.
Yes. He liked to, you know, he wanted everybody to know that he's not judging sinners like gays and alcoholics and terrorists.
Right. He's just saying. He's not saying, he's just
saying.
Well,
and, you know, frankly, I'm not judging him. I'm not judging Phil Robertson or neo-Nazis or white supremacists or duck-screwing bestiality supporters.
Right, right. I would never. We would
never.
Exactly. Oh, you're a scamp, Carl Frisch. Speaking of which, you tweeted yesterday, hot damn, Obama's Biden skip Sochi. Billie Jean King is sending Billie Jean King instead. Ha-ha,
right.
Neener. Ha-ha, and Nanny Boo Boo.
I think it's time to have another battle of the genders. Billie Jean King versus Putin to the death. And I know people are thinking, I've seen Putin without his shirt off. Well, I've seen Billie Jean King without her shirt off, and I think she could take it.
Yeah, of course, he's a black belt in judo, which, you know.
I still think she could kick his ass.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. He's about 4 inches tall, isn't he?
I think... I don't know what it is in metric, but I think that's probably accurate.
Yes, thank you. I think it is actually an awesome message, don't you?
I think it's a fantastic message, and, you know, I don't think Brian Boitano ever came out, but he's on there, too.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think the message is loud and clear that, you know, there are really great athletes, you know, world-renowned athletes. That are LGBT, and if Vladimir Putin doesn't like it, he's going to have to you know, do something else.
I think it's actually a rather elegant way to send the same message without a boycott, because as everybody always says, I mean, it does punish athletes that have trained for years and years and years. And I was a little on the fence about that, because while we all find it repugnant, obviously, the laws in Russia, I think this is a really, I mean, the president and vice president for the first time ever not going. And, I mean, this is a pretty loud message, isn't it?
It's a very loud message. You'd be hard
very prominent gay people, yeah.
You'd be hard-pressed to find any athlete who has ever trained, who made it or didn't make it, that is in favor of a boycott for exactly that reason. They train forever to get there. But this is a message loud and clear. And
yeah, it's punishing them for Russia's homophobia or Putin's, right?
Precisely. And it sends a stronger message when LGBT athletes will be competing and they'll be winning in Sochi.
Right, but now the next question is going to be, I think as someone said yesterday, so what happens? Do you think Billie Jean King or whoever else will speak out? And then what happens? They arrest them?
Well, it'll be an interesting test of this law. And, you know, unfortunately, I have a feeling that none of these prominent LGBT folks are going to experience any problems in Russia,
right,
which will be, you know, helpful to their propaganda efforts.
It might be a little awesome. Billie Jean King in the gulag is all I'm saying. Tennis whites are the new black.
I know. You're doing your fan fiction again. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
You know, the sad thing is that everyday LGBT Russians are still going to be in Russia experiencing the same kind of hatred that they've been experiencing for well over a year now.
And fear for their lives.
Absolutely. And this is legitimate fear for their lives.
Yep.
I mean, these are, you know, even a kid who was a contestant on American or Ukraine Idol. He was one of the winners of Ukraine Idol, I think. And he was, you know, fished out online, and these Russian neo-Nazis kidnapped him and tortured him on camera and put the video up online.
Nice.
That's a regular occurrence now for teenagers that are meeting on the internet to, you know, go on dates because they think it's safer there. And not to mention the largest nightclub in Moscow has been had gunshots fired at it. It's had its roof ripped off.
Yeah.
This is completely backwards. And the man that was just put in charge of state television there has said that he'd like to see all gay people burn.
Oi, oi, oi. In other happy gay news, you tweeted, yay, I got the handsome Uber X driver again. The
That's
one who
true.
Plays classical music. Good for you. That
you know, the
Christmas
one.
Came early then.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I have hope that I'll get picked up again this holiday season. But, I'm smitten with an Uber.
Well, it is a little yellowcabmeetsmatch.com, isn't it?
It is, although my friend said, what exactly is UberX? That sounds naughty.
Yeah. UberX is slightly different than regular Uber, right?
Right.
That's right. It's not necessarily a black car.
Yeah.
But he had a nice car and, you know, obviously has a license, so he's got that. And it's a job.
Good for you.
So
he has a job.
Good for you. I could not be happier for you.
Does he like Dexter?
Dexter was not with me either time that he picked me up.
All right. Well, that's for the second date.
Dexter's
all right, Carl,
Uber driver.
I had to fact check this with Chris Lavoie because I was like, is this just Carl Frisch being a little scamp? But it really is too easy. Speaker Boehner rents Capitol Hill apartment from tanning bed lobbyist. As you said, hashtag too easy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, come on, that's a joke. I mean, really?
No, it's absolutely true. Here's the great thing about it. He can't even do this ethically. So he's renting his Capitol Hill apartment from a tanning bed lobbyist. Yeah, and those do exist, by the way.
Yes. The American Sun Tanning Association.
Right.
Yep.
They're jobs created by the Obamas. And he is not only renting this apartment for them, but he's getting it for a steal. He's paying, it's a two-bedroom apartment on Capitol Hill in a nice neighborhood for $1,600. You can't even get a one-bedroom in a nice neighborhood in D.C.
Wow.
For $1,600.
Well, listen, there's no color discrimination, as we know, in D.C., so orange people, you know, can get a good apartment, too, I guess.
Well, there is no discrimination based on, you know, your proclivities for tanning beds or for spray tans here.
Yeah.
In the city of Washington.
Exactly.
Yeah, that hue is more spray tan than tanning bed, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
that,
and you would think
more
that you would charge even more for an apartment if you're renting it to one of those spray tan people.
Yeah,
right.
That was more
they
my
might leave orange residue all over the place.
That was more my QT spray tan, prom tan in 1979.
You sit down on the couch and you leave an orange imprint when
you
get up.
Yeah. Right. And you sadly choose like a white gown or something.
Oh.
Yeah. Horrible.
Bader
right.
does look good in a nice white frock.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of the Olympic delegation, Jay Carney yesterday.
I think that this delegation brings attention to the remarkable diversity of the United States.
I think it is.
Nod, wink, wink.
Diversity.
Fantastic. It really is fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Obamas and the Bidens are not the only people not going, and I think that number is going to get bigger and bigger. You've got French officials and German officials and Italian officials who are all deciding to stay home.
Yeah, wow. Oh, by the way, more important breaking news. Travis says the Calla Lilies line is from Stage Door.
1937.
Right. There you go. So now we can all move on.
Apparently I go in for booze and drugs.
Right.
booze and dope.
Exactly.
Dope, that's right.
All right. Carl Frisch, Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. We will talk to you in the new year, sweetie.
Happy holidays. I'm going to go do some more war on Christmas.
Yay! Good idea. Good idea. Good luck.
All right.
Good luck, my little soldier. Good luck. All right. There he goes. Aw. A little war on Christmas soldier. Thank you, Travis. That is very sad.
He's engaged in a war on mucus right now, apparently.
Oh, we have a little hate letter for Travis that we'll do next.
Yes, this is interesting.
He's trying to make up for it by finding out that information. The calla lily is out in bloom again, is from Stage Door. Very good.
I don't think her voice was that shaky back in 1937, though.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll research that.
Well, I mean, her voice got shaky later on in life. It wasn't...
No, she wasn't.
I was exaggerating for comedic purposes.
I see. Right. Okay. Okay. I just ruin everything, don't I?
You have a great big chip on your shoulder. It's very unattractive. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Zoinks. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Got some of those great Sherry's Berries and Pro Flowers gift certificates for the best calls today. Do it. All right. We have a love letter to us, and then it ends in a hate letter to Travis. Mm-hmm. Hi, Travis.
Hi.
Oh, look at Mr. Bone.
T-Bone.
You're returning the toaster, aren't you?
No, I'm not returning the toaster. Let's see.
Because we all know how important toast is to Travis.
It's from Mike in L.A. regarding us, being off the air here on K-Talk starting January 2nd in Los Angeles. He says it is the end of the world.
Right. That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid.
I know. Everybody gentle down. Right. Right, right. It takes a while to get to the chorus, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it's mm-hmm. coming.
Okay, all right, everybody.
Here it comes.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
Almost. Not yet.
Oh, my God. That's very wordy. Did Sarah Palin write this?
Michael Stipe is, yeah, he's wordy.
All right. All right. Oh, I can't wait.
And
okay.
Bald as a cucumber now. When I first saw him, he was a mass of curly hair. Yes. Can you see his face?
He's very bald now.
All right. Oh, for God's sakes. Really, Michael
Stipe? Here it comes.
Oh, okay.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as
all right,
we know it.
Listen, everybody calm down. Calm down. Gentle down. Gentle down. First of all, it's not the end of the world. There's already rumors and rumblings of another station in L.A. However, as we've been saying, there are many, many ways but technology is outpacing everybody. So, right, Chris?
Absolutely.
You can listen online. You can listen on apps, progressivevoices.com, iHeartRadio, TuneIn app, on Stitcher, on SiriusXM.
On the Stephanie Miller app.
Right.
You can get the StephCast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
You can get one of them there fancy internet radios. They're not even fancy. They're cheap. Do it. Anyway, and then also we will be on Free Speech TV, televised all 3 hours live.
And freespeech.org, you can watch us.
Right. Or you can get as Jim likes to say,
a Roku.
Roku.
Yes, and there's
I just say it so he says that.
There's a Free Speech channel you can watch us on.
All right. Mike says, thanks to all of you keeping us sane through the grim years when reactionaries who masqueraded as conservatives held both houses of Congress and the White House. It's a disgrace the commercial airwaves in L.A. and Frisco now will be monopolized by those same reactionaries who in the first years of this century crashed the economy and ran up the colossal debt they now blame on someone else. Oh, that was the Christmas present they left Clear Channel here. Yep. $30 billion in debt.
Nice.
Thanks, everybody. It's hurt a lot of our friends here at Clear Channel, by the way. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, here, where are we? Your removal from the airwaves on the left coast is the end of a happier world for us old farts who will now be forced to adjust to 21st century technology to keep you in our lives. That's okay. It's like having teenagers. If you love me, you will just get with it.
That's right.
Technologically speaking, you old fart.
Yes. Nowadays, if grandparents want to talk to their grandkids, they have to learn how to text.
It keeps you young. Exactly. I have a lot of friends that said their moms are getting good at texting, so they can talk to their grandkids. Think of it like that. Here comes your part.
Oh,
here's
yeah.
where it, turn, it takes a turn.
Uh-oh.
Against Travis. I would have phoned, but don't know if I could talk without breaking down and sobbing, as I'll actually have to spend, and I'll have to spend a few bucks to continue following your show. And anyway, Travis is so mean, like so many from Fresno.
What?
You got thrown in there with the entire city of Fresno.
Apparently we're taking down Fresno.
Assuming Mama Bone as well.
She makes jam. How can anyone who makes jams and jellies be mean?
Who wants jam?
You leave Mama Bone
so
alone.
Mean.
You're so mean. You should be happy she makes
I'm
it
I'm not
for
inferring
you.
That Mama Bone is mean. I'm just saying.
No, you're
apparently,
implying.
A high percentage of people from Fresno are mean, according to Mike in L.A.
We're jerks up there.
Yeah, you and Kevin Federline.
The entire
both
town.
Both of you from Fresno.
Exactly. See,
right.
I didn't knock Brittany up.
Love and a blessed Chrismahana Kwanzaa to all. Mike in L.A. P.S. Spellcheck does not like the way I spelled Chrismahana Kwanzaa. Go figure. Spellcheck is.
Angry, jagged red line underneath it.
Just
yeah.
No!
Computer says no.
No! It's not how you do it. All right. Thank you, Travis. I don't think you're that mean.
I do my best. It's like Thunderdome out there right
you
now.
You were very polite the day I was walking past you to the bathroom, and you said a guy just called. He couldn't hold on. He just wants you to know that you're a...
A C word.
An effing C word.
Okay.
Right. And I said, why, thank you, Travis.
I just pass along the messages. I'm the delivery man. Don't shoot me.
Right. I understand. Listen, I appreciate you passing on the message in such a polite manner, unlike most people from Fresno.
Right. I could have said it in a really, really mean way,
right.
But I said it in the nicest way possible.
Right.
What is it about Fresno that makes people mean?
It's all the conservatives there.
Is that what it
They're angry. They're angry, and they're unemployed, too, because the job, Fresno's like the worst in California.
And by the way, thank you for saying it as if you did not share his opinion, though. I'm sure you do.
Welcome to Fresno. At least we're not Stockton.
You need to change it.
Could be worse. You could be in Stockton.
If they made it Fres Yes, people would be a lot more cheerful.
Fres Yes. Yes, put a positive spin on
Fres
it.
Fres No. Fres Yes.
Angry, bitter people
yeah.
eating raisins.
That would be funny if you changed the name to Fres Yes.
Just cross out the no. Put
don't
it.
Be, right? Fres No, don't be so negative.
Fres Yes.
Fres
don't
No.
Don't
Fres
be the city
yes.
of no. Be the city of yes.
By the way, I'm wearing that shirt to work tomorrow now because
or
of this conversation.
Fresca.
All right.
Fresh California.
Travis, go back to your cubbyhole and try not to be... Oh, by the way, you know you need to spend your vacation shrinking because of the little closet I have to put you in to screen calls at my house.
I've been washing in hot water every day trying
to... Is it not like a little, what's the Being John Malkovich movie?
The yeah. seven
like
and a
half little
floor.
Door. Yeah, it's a little door that looks not...
It's like being the Vulture at Gunner on a B-17.
You're going to find a portal into Elvira's head or something.
Will you sue me for height discrimination if I have to fire you for being entirely too tall?
No, but if you keep pushing me into the closet like this, I can go to Russia for the Olympics.
Like you must be this, you must be this high for this job. Sorry. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know nobody likes
Stephanie Miller.
Why do we have to have a holiday season to emphasize it?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, speaking of the spirit of Christmas, what a fabulous piece. It's Conservatives Who Really Want Christ Out of Christmas is the name of the article by our good friend.
Here he comes, Mrs. Dino Badala. Yes, it's Dino Badala. Dino Badala.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, sir.
I love the song. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. I was just putting orders in for a lot of Duck Dynasty souvenirs for a holiday gift. So I'm really busy right now.
Have you seen...
I don't have the time to really talk. I'm shopping, getting duck calls. I'm getting the fake beard. Yeah. Some of my Muslim cousins actually have the same beard. Nice.
Have you seen that Chia Pet now has Chia Duck Dynasty people?
Chia Duck Dynasty? No,
yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
But
okay.
I'm glad... You know, Sarah Palin just chimed in earlier on the whole Duck Dynasty thing, so now it makes more sense because... Did you see her comments?
No. What did she say? I'm always waiting with bated breath.
she said, she posted, or somebody wrote for her on Facebook, because she doesn't read. She said, free speech is an endangered species. Those intolerant, hating, and taking on the Duck Dynasty patriarch for voicing his personal opinions are taking on all of us. All of us. So, I mean, that's really that kind of clear call, that the idea that free speech, if you say something, you shouldn't be held responsible. Even though Ronald Reagan talked forever about personal responsibility, no, say whatever you want, you're free. Of course, when Martin Bashir said stuff about her, her pack went crazy. She's denounced him. And
the final irony, of course, is that she's the one that all over the English language. I'm just saying.
She's horrible. So, yes. But I'm glad that Sarah Palin politicized an issue that should have just been like, the guy got suspended. They're not taking his money away. They're not canceling the show. They're not even doing anything about any kind of no profits for him. It's a little suspension. It won't be in a few episodes.
Yeah. Interesting. Speaking of Sarah Palin and Fox News, it's just as you know, it is the season the war on Christmas.
I love it.
But you so many good points in your piece. You say it's conservatives who really want Christ out of Christmas. They're terrified America's tiny number of atheists will change the meaning of the holiday, but conservatives are the one who are really at war with this message. So this is basically, as you say, epic battle between the forces on the right who demand we say Merry Christmas to everyone, regardless of their faith or lack thereof, and those who prefer Happy Holidays. There she is again. Sarah Palin is traveling the country, alerting people to that angry atheists want to abort Christ from Christmas.
She is a modern day Paul Revere.
Yes, you know,
the guy who warned the British
that
the British were about to attack.
Right.
She actually used the words "angry atheists want to abort Christ from Christmas." She's trying to conjure up everything. Just a slight digression for a second.
Yes.
What I love about the right is they go, "We're being bullied." Yes, there's 1.6% of the country's atheists. I don't think they understand what the word bully is. It's not like when you're a huge majority, you get bullied by a teeny minority. It's the other way around. But in their case, they love to turn words around in this Orwellian way. But she's really upset, so is Bill Riley and many on the right, about they want to keep Christ in Christmas, which I have no problem. I respect that. But they don't want to keep Christ's teaching and the policies they advocate. And that's where the hypocrisy troubles me.
Exactly.
To no end.
Well,
there's two Jesus Christ to them. I mean, I wrote my article. There's the one that helps the poor, and there's the one who callously cuts programs like food stamps, health insurance, and unemployment benefits, gleefully almost.
Yeah, well, and I you alerted me to things I did not even know. Rick Perry actually enacted a Merry Christmas law to ensure...
They signed it in the summer. They had Christmas in July in Texas, and they actually signed this like in June. And what it does is protect public school teachers to say Merry Christmas in school without fear of being sued by atheists. And Tennessee is now considering the same law.
My God.
But this is purely pandering to your base. I don't know any school teacher anywhere in the country who was sued for saying Merry Christmas. If a school puts up a live nativity scene on the school grounds, hey, there's a problem, because it has to be secular symbols. That's what the Supreme Court said. Christmas tree, a Hanukkah, a menorah, those are all fine. But it's really, in the big picture, and I didn't get in the article, the big picture is making sure America stays a Christian nation the way they view it. And that's what they're troubled by. They're really troubled that we're getting more and more diverse.
Well, you know, when you go through the, you know, specific policies that are so anti-Christian, you know, as they're, you know, fighting against this, as you say, fictional, basically, war on Christmas, you said in September House of Republicans voted to slash $40 billion from the food stamp program. If this had become law, it would result in nearly 4 million Americans being deprived of these desperately needed benefits. So much for the "I was hungry and you gave me food." I mean, go ahead.
That's the famous passage in Matthew in the New Testament where Jesus talked about the importance of helping the needy. He said, "I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was sick, and you took care of me."
Hello.
Hello.
As they're waging a war, as you say, to destroy Obamacare, right?
Right. And it's right there. I was sick, and you took care of me. Not Obamacare. That's different. That's inconsistent. I mean, how dare you try to help millions of Americans who need health care? Because I'm a Christian, I'm going to stand up and oppose it. No, they should be applauding these. You know, you can argue over the specifics of the law and how it should be administered or rolled out. That's fine. But to say that they shouldn't get the care, or food stamps are being abused, or unemployed people shouldn't get benefits at a time of need, is completely antithetical with Jesus' teachings. And I'm no expert on Jesus. I mean, I did go to Catholic school, and I'm Muslim. My mom's Catholic, so I was raised with both faiths. And Jesus is a prophet to Muslims. We are supposed to follow Jesus' teachings as Muslims. It's all about God to Muslims. And so Jesus is a prophet to us just as important as Muhammad or Abraham and Moses. They're all prophets to us. So That's why when I write about Jesus, people are like, oh, you're a Muslim. Like, he's important to us. You don't get it. I mean, people think we pray to Muhammad. We don't pray to Muhammad.
Yeah.
Pray to God. That's it.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, interesting, too, you talk about them cutting unemployment benefits a few days after Christmas, which is exactly what Jesus would do, of course. But you picked out someone in particular, Representative Kevin Cramer, using the Bible to say, you know, that the only phrase they seem to use, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. And
right.
You say, interestingly, during the federal government shutdown in September, Congressman Cramer was the only member of the North Dakota delegation who did not donate his salary to charity.
Yes, he wasn't working, but he wanted to eat. You know, can you get any more hypocrisy from the right? I mean, I don't even know what to say. Maybe I shouldn't be outraged anymore and just go like, you know what, I should have just expected it. Because,
right.
I mean, it's... I don't know how you could be so uncaring during not just the holiday season, but during the year, and talk about Christianity so much, and then use the Bible passages to actually advocate policies that are hurtful to the poor.
Well,
Jesus is all about helping people in need. That's the thesis we all take from, and you know, loving thy neighbor. And
you broke it down. You basically said, you know, Christmas is, here's the reality. Christmas is going to be fine. The poor will not be without our help. I mean, that's and as you say, we rarely even hear about the poor in our nation unless it's, you know, they're being demonized by the right as lazy or abusing the system. And I think that's so un-Christian. that's the final.
I think Sarah Palin has aborted the poor.
She's aborted the poor. She has on many occasions. She's a serial aborter. And then, you know, Sarah Palin's got a book out about the war on Christmas. And Sarah Palin, and it didn't make my article because it was getting long, talking about how the commercialization of Christmas is a good thing. Sort of like greed is good. It was like a Gordon Gekko Sarah Palin moment.
It's a Gordon Gekko Christmas, everyone.
Gordon Gekko. She actually said commercialization is good because it means more people know about Jesus. Buy my book. You know, that's buy my book. Yeah. It's a good stocking stuffer. It's a sad reality, you know. And at the end, I try to get away from religion and just talk about public policy, which really should be, honestly, the controlling factor in what policy should be enacted. It shouldn't be, they should go with the Bible, the Quran, Old Testament, New Testament. But there was a recent study just came out last month and showed that the war on poverty over the last 50 years has brought down poverty in the United States of America. The safety net is working. So we need that safety net. It's not just caring and compassion in accordance with the Bible. It's good public policy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we should be, that's what
well,
we should follow.
Right.
In every situation.
Yeah, and your final point is, you know, what, I mean, seriously, what do you think Jesus would care about more? You know, actually helping the poor and the needy, or whether someone says Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. I mean, it's just the whole thing is so ridiculous, and it goes on every year, right?
It does every year, and they keep it going. And it's, you know, it's these issues are the easiest to get your base riled up, because there's really no one on the other side. There's nobody really waging a war on Christmas.
Right.
So you're like, you know, we're going to win this war, and everyone's on the other side like, who are you fighting? We're fighting those damn 1.6% of the country who are atheists, who most of them don't care. But there are a few who file lawsuits to make sure Christmas decorations are in accordance with Supreme Court decisions. That's the way it should be. That's why you have a Supreme Court. That's why, you know, freedom of religion means you can't establish a religion, and we have to be weary of that.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Dean Obladai, have Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or whatever.
You
it
too.
Is.
Happy Duck Dynasty Christmas for
thank
everyone
you.
Out
thank
there.
You.
Get
you
a
too.
Duck caller. There's got to be a gay duck out there.
Thank
I
you.
Hope all right, thank you.
I'm shopping
bye-bye.
Right now. Thank you. Love you. Bye-bye. All right, speaking of which, time to check in from the battlefront once more.
Coming this December on PBS, the new documentary series, Dispatches from the War on Christmas.
Dear Mr. Claus, it has come to our attention here at Coke Industries that you intend to provide chunks of free coal to an unspecified number of naughty children this year. Free coal, Mr. Claus, is most definitely not the way of American enterprise. As you may know, sir, Coke Industries owns all the coal, and we don't give it away to anybody, especially some kid with the chilblains. It makes them lazy and stupid like they already are. Our legal team will soon be in touch to file a cease and desist from this practice within the borders of the United States. We are also aware that the North Pole is not a sovereign country and have obtained exclusive rights to tow it over to Siberia and let those teeming communist hordes grind it to pieces. Sincerely, David H. Koch.
Dispatches from the War on Christmas. Coming this December on PBS.
Thank you, Rod. Kenny Pickshape and P.S. Mueller
yes.
in the live blog. Chris in Chicago on this very subject. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm a seminary student out in Chicago. I'm about to graduate, become a pastor for the Lutheran Church.
Wow.
And I was really intrigued with the conversation you guys were having. I wanted to make a point. There's something we talk about in all of our studies in seminary about the work that Jesus did. And you ask the question, what would Jesus really care about? And when you read the Bible and the New Testament, the stuff that Jesus does when he heals a crippled person so that they could walk, it's really about letting that person come back into the community. And so the way we look at it in seminary is justice versus charity, where justice is systemic change. It helps somebody in the long run, whereas charity, you know, might feed somebody for a night, but then they're back in the same predicament the very next day. And, you know, the Christian right's greatest champion, Ronald Reagan, cut social spending so dramatically that the churches filled that vacuum with charity work and left the justice kind of work kind of with no one to do anything about it. But I really like the caller, and I just wanted to make the point that when we do read about what Jesus did in the Bible, it was more about justice work, about systemically changing the lives of those who are hungry and needy.
Right, right. Well, I think that's what Paul Ryan's kind of talking about. Well, yeah, let's, you know, slash all the you know, government safety nets and just hope that somehow magically, I don't know, poor people can live on goodwill from strangers or something, right?
Absolutely. Let's let the personal, individual person do some charity work, and that's how all the poor will be taken care of. When he's missing the mark completely.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, would you consider it an act of Christian charity if I were to give you a $50 gift certificate to ProFlowers?
It would be an act of charity because I'm a poor seminary
That's
student.
That's what I thought.
I would absolutely love it.
I will do that, and you will send a beautiful Christmas bouquet to somebody. Hey, hold on, okay?
Thank you.
All right. I sense that. I sense poor student. He's a poor church mouse.
You're absolutely right.
A $50 gift certificate from ProFlowers. Send holiday bouquets and gifts from ProFlowers.com. Just click on the mic and enter Stephanie, won't you?
Paul Ryan would like him to live on hardtack and hay.
Right. Exactly. Good luck. It's roughage. 47 minutes after the hour. We roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 52 minutes after the hour. Bob Zeska coming up. It's a little early Christmas gift for me.
It is.
It's a Hawaiian Christmas.
It's a little mele kalikimaka.
Okay. Ugh, don't ever say that again. 1-800.
Why?
Certainly not in front of Hawaiian Bob Zeska.
Oh, I see.
All right. Kyle in Long Island. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to comment about I'm so happy that verdict came down about the NSA spying on phones. You know, one of the things we have is Fourth Amendment constitutional protections, and I'm glad that the courts are finally realizing.
Thank God no one is listening to this call
right now. It wasn't a court verdict, though. It was a report issued by the executive branch, you know, the White House.
No. The verdict that came out on Monday about the fact that this violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Okay, but the thing that stands out in my mind, again, is the fact that, you know, I remember the ACLU came out with their report on the 10-year anniversary of 9/11. The report was basically saying that how we're constantly moving towards more of a police state, and hopefully this will reverse that trend. The thing I'm most shocked about, though, is that, you know, with Obama in the White House, why hasn't he done something about it earlier? Because if he's a constitutional scholar, how does he not realize that this is clearly a violation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
and Dianne Feinstein's, you know, not on board with
I mean, same thing. I mean, it's like, so let me, I elect you because you're supposedly better than the Republicans, and then you turn around and you're in favor of these same policies that are making us a police state.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I can't vote for her again, I don't think.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've talked about before, I lived in New York, and I got to say, we were just scared. We were shell shocked. I mean, I knew people that died.
The Patriot Act was ready to go before 9/11.
Yeah, the interesting thing that came out in the report, though, was the fact that the judge said, you've shown me no evidence that these programs had done anything to stop anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, what's the purpose of these except for to be, create a police state?
Yeah, no, I hear you, but again, as I keep saying, it's above my pay grade, but there's got to be some balance, you know? I mean, I think you cannot have 100% privacy and 0% security. I don't know where the line is. I'm not, you know.
But it is blatantly unconstitutional. I mean, the Fourth Amendment is just being trashed.
Yeah, well, I mean, wait a minute. What did you say about Feinstein? I thought you said she's not down with it. You said you can't.
No,
vote
I mean
her
she's
again?
No, she's not. I mean she
she's for
she
she's for surveillance.
Yeah, surveillance. Yeah.
Right, but what I'm saying is she's even evolved on this, hasn't she? You were.
I don't think so.
No, I think she has. I mean, that was what I was saying. Is even she?
No. She was a report this morning that she says that she disagrees with this judge. Saying that it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Chris is Googling as we speak. Jim in Springfield, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say I'm real upset with this budget agreement. I just don't believe that that these Republicans understand what's going on. I mean, I'm a little bit even more upset.
Jim, you know what I'm upset is that this has become the level that we're just like, oh, okay, they're not going to shut the government down. Okay, well, I guess that's the best we can hope for is that, you know, and they undid some of the sequester. It's just, you know.
Well, what really bothers me is maybe I'm close friends with I know someone in my church that's a disabled war veteran, and I cannot believe that they put that in that bill, but then I'm even more upset with my senators and my party for not even one person standing up to it. I mean, we're not going to balance the budget off the backs of our disabled war veterans, are we?
Yeah, well, this is what I mean. It's just, you know, the rhetoric that's been coming out of this party for how many years about the left hates the military. And then, you know, it's just the same thing. Then there's like, you know, radio silence about it. Yes, Chris, you were looking like you knew something.
Yes, Feinstein says that NSA phone surveillance is important but not indispensable. She is urging this case to go up to the Supreme Court.
Oh, really? Okay.
So that the Supreme Court can have the final say
on
the constitutionality.
Well, all right then.
But remember, she's also the chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, so that's her bailiwick.
Yep.
Monica in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I am a Christian, and I no longer practice my Christianity, and people that I meet in town will say, you know, you haven't been to church in forever. Why haven't you been to church? And it's because of what was being preached at the pulpit. It wasn't Christianity as I learned it. It was the hypocrisy of hating the poor and, you know, the poor needed to get off and work. And it wasn't Christianity as I learned it.
Right. Yeah. During the Bush years, I think, you know, there were a lot of people I talked to, Monica, that were like, I want to take my religion back. Because I don't know in what world they think Jesus was for war and against helping the poor. Right?
Amen. Yes.
Yeah. Amen, sister. All right. Testify. Thank you. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Good morning, love you. So, really quick, to mess with Sheil O'Leary and Fox Noise, have a happy holiday season.
Thank you.
And just when I think, I always worry about my title as the number one feared and reviled minority will be taken. And then, of course, my fears are allayed by the likes of Megyn Kelly and the Duck Dynasty dude.
Hey, by the way, in good news, though, the Mormon Church says it's okay to be black now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're good to go now. You're good to go now, former mud person.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we'll tell you about that. Yeah, Mormon Church finally says dark skin, not a sign of God's curse. Oh,
really?
Fine. Now you tell us. Okay.
Well, that changes everything.
Okay. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Bob Seska calls it from Hawaii.
Miligaliki Maka.
It's I told you not to say that again.
Sorry.
It's Blue Hawaiian Christmas or
whatever.
Whatever that Bette Midler song is. Okay, we will talk to him.
That was an Elvis song.
Yeah, but Bette Midler did a better version of it. Just saying. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Elvis did the classic version of it.
I like hers. Okay, I have a...
I like the Sex Pistols version of it, actually.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, I have another gift certificate for the best call today for Sherry's Berries. Yum. I had a friend that had them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a walking infomercial for Sherry's Berries. Seriously? It's just like, oh, it's so good. It was like, it was orgasmic reaction. That's what you get when you send Sherry's Berries. Just saying.
Okay.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. And I did the breaking news. I just told Kevin in D.C., my Mandingo warrior. I am his alabaster angel.
Yes.
The Mormon Church says it's okay to be black now. So go.
Wow.
Go ahead with your bad selves.
Thank God that's over.
It's all good now. Yeah. Friday, December 6th, the Mormon Church officially renounced the doctrine that brown skin is a punishment from God. So, okay. All right. Thank God.
Well, not if you live in an equatorial region. Brown skin is very healthy.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Thanks. That's a little Christmas gift from the Mormons for all y'alls. Okay.
White skin is actually an aberration. So people living in northern climes where you don't get enough sunlight get enough vitamin D3.
Yeah,
what little sunlight there is.
Dave in Minneapolis, welcome to God Talk. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, Mala. This is the official openly gay Lutheran pastor of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello.
I think it's really interesting, all this interesting God talk. All the major religions talk about where you invest your time, where you invest your energy, your money, whatever. That's the indication of what truly is the most important thing in your life. And these, like the Palin and others, they don't practice Christianity. They worship the United States of America. And there's a distinct difference, you know. If you believe that this country is flawless, incapable of making a mistake, whatever, you've really got yourself kind of screwed up, because this is a human institution. Humans make mistakes. If you really want to know what's most important to them, you do as they said with Watergate, follow the money. That's you know, and you'll get the rest of them to go right along. It's reprehensible, and that's what's been twisted into some form of religiosity here in this country.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you.
Of course you do, because I am always right, and you know that. You've told me repeatedly.
Yes.
That's yes.
That's right. All right, Dave. Thank you for calling. All right. Speaking of awesome people from Minnesota, Charlie in St. Paul, with a few questions about the new TV show. We will be on Free Speech TV, thanks to your generosity. Oh, by the way, keep going. The fundraising drive ends tomorrow.
Yeah.
Help, Mommy. To get Mama. Help, Mama.
Hey.
Mama on the Moves back on TV. Hey, what do you got over there, Tom Harmon? You got a TV show? I want one. Hey, don't press. Okay.
They should do the whole show like that once we move to your house.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Click, click, click. TV's across the country turning off. All right. But thank you very much. I know everybody was very much missing us. We lost Current TV this year. And anyway, thank you for all your generosity. Because it is non-corporate, commercial free, so they need to pay for the infrastructure. We need to pay for our own infrastructure. Mm-hmm. But with the Mom and the Moogs back on the TV, we don't know the exact date. We will let you know due to technical stuff. We will be back on the radio January 2nd,
yes. And
then shortly thereafter back up on television. Okay. Charlie, and also it'll be from Mama's home studio, as you know.
Yes.
I am, as Christmas elves are, as we speak, building a studio in my house.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be an awesome little, like, cool reality show, televised radio show. Something.
Whatever.
Thing. Okay. Charlie says, hi, Mama. Like a lot of your easily confused listeners.
What?
I have a couple questions about how this new thingy is going to work.
Okay.
Can you help enlighten us? Number one, will the guy that owns the show continue to own the show? Yes.
Computer says yes.
And he will continue to try to kill me for the life insurance money, which might be a good idea at this point.
And send us Christmas ornaments that we immediately regift.
Right, to someone else.
Yes.
9 years, he sent us that same damn ornament, and I'm like, we don't, okay. All right. God love him. Will he share ownership with the boy band that lives next door to you?
Computer says no.
No. Possibly with the share-loving gay couple that lives nearby.
Computer says no.
No. No one else gets a stake. Will the show still be liberal? Yes.
Computer says yes.
Will you still be a lesbian?
Computer says yes.
Although still probably bad at it. Will Chris still lift weights? is the Pope
Catholic. Of course.
Computer says, yeah.
You asked me to stop lifting weights so I could fit in the studio.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Will Chris start wearing lederhosen on camera?
Computer says, yeah.
I hadn't told you that yet, but yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. Will Jim freaking show up on time more than twice a week?
Computer says, no.
Well,
no.
The drive's going to be longer, so
no.
We'll
but,
see.
But it'll have, he has like four steps to walk to get into the studio.
That's true.
From my driveway.
He doesn't have to go from a parking garage no. to an elevator no. to a, yeah.
To another elevator. To
right. Can we have a weekly segment called Which Woodland Creature Destroyed Mama's Property This Week?
Computer says yes.
Yes. And I may even have to pop a camera off the wall and go show
chupacabra.
People the destruction.
I bet it's a chupacabra.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that the betting pool would probably be chupacabra. Right. Will you take us on a trip down Mama's bridal path?
Computer says no.
I do not have a bridal path.
She's not even married.
See what I did there? I haven't found that path. Okay, since Rebecca's husband is helping, he is building the studio.
Yes.
Can we have more of Rebecca's Ross Perot impressions? This is a deal breaker.
Ain't it funny?
All right, well then. Because Rebecca will continue to fill in for Travis when he's on vacation, associate producing and screening and all
right.
that there stuff. Tony, who's helping Craig build the studio, will be filling in for you,
That's
running
right.
the board when we're on vacation.
As usual.
Right. Can you do an on-camera rundown on how to make mama kraut? Because I'm not sure everyone understands how to burn cabbage yet. Thank you, Charlie and St. Paul. Fine, we will take all this under advisement.
It's really hard to burn cabbage. Do you realize this?
It's hard to be a bad lesbian, yet I do it. Okay. Julie in Seattle, Mama, Chris, and Jim, great sale going on at the Roku website.
Roku.
For us.
Roku.
Thank you.
Roku.
You know what? It's impossible not to do that, just like when I say bark, 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 bark. See? Bark, bark. See?
Bark, bark, bark,
can't help yourself, bark. Can you?
Roku. Roku.
For us old people who have no idea what a Roku is, much less what it costs, might be a good idea to alert folks. You can get one for under $40 right now while the sale is on at Roku.com. Well, look at that.
And it's spelled Roku.com.
And it is pronounced
Roku.
Roku.
And what do it do again, Chris? Tell us what, us old farts again. What do it do?
All kind of channels that you can watch things on there.
Okay.
Including free speech TV.
Right. And you can also get free speech TV on DirecTV,
exactly.
on Dish Network,
yeah.
on some cable channels.
Yep. And
go to freespeech.org. There you go.
Yes. And you can also watch Netflix on it. You can watch Hulu Plus on it. You know, all kinds of things.
Fabulous. So. Love me the House of Cards. Love me some Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Orange is the New Black. You can get that on there. And that new
I totally missed my joke about Billie Jean King getting thrown in prison in Russia, and I said tennis whites are the new black. And I did not get nothing. This is a tough room this morning. That like that, out of the top of my head. Screws. Okay.
And also Netflix is going to have that new Mitt documentary.
Oh, that looks good.
Yes, it does.
Oh, they look just droopy on election night, don't they? They look shell-shocked, you know, Tag and Flern and
they had a had a camera on him the very second he found out that he lost the election.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Anne looks warm, doesn't she?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be on Netflix. So.
I just, as I said, every time she was on camera with a black anchor, it looked like a scene from The Help. Stop it.
Stop it.
You people have gotten all you're going to get from me.
All right. Stop it. This is hard. You want to try it? Get in the ring. This
See,
is hard.
You can imagine her surprise when she just found out the Mormon Church says it's okay to be black.
Stop it.
Robin Stop it.
Stop it.
Robin Roberts, I'm sorry.
Stop it.
You're right.
And thanks for the pie.
You're right. She's so warm.
She's warm.
Stop it. This is hard.
Stop it.
Right. Okay. Also, a dick in Beaverton, Oregon. Seth, long-time listener podcaster, only $4.95 a month if you buy your internet. Yeah, we know. Okay. I wake up every weekday morning to Stephanie on my Grace Digital Internet Clock Radio, available from Amazon and fine stores everywhere, and see you on Free Speech TV. He's got an internet there right here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What's an awesome idea about that?
Yeah.
And then you can listen online.
Yep.
Okay, and it's an app.
Oh, what?
Me.
Oh,
I'm an app.
Yes, Stephanie Miller.
Right, it's on progressivevoices.com. It's on
iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher.
There you go.
Roku.
Thanks, Jim. He's become like the Indian on One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
He just does the one thing now.
The chief raised his hand.
Sam in Jacksonville here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sam.
Hi, I'd just like to be a happy, clappy liberal and weigh in on Obama's not doing something about the NSA spying earlier, because, you know, if he would have done away with NSA spying, we would have gotten attacked, because the right wing would have been seeking his head and would have been trying to impeach him and everything else and calling him a traitor. So
absolutely, Sam. You know how the whole marching orders, you got to get behind George Bush after 9/11, and everybody fall in line. And you're absolutely right. If anything had happened or does under Obama, you watch the difference. Jeff in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi.
I enjoy your show. It's very funny.
Thank you. Why do I sense this is going to take a turn for the worse for me?
I really do. I don't even listen to Hannity. I can't stand listening to him. I do like your guys' show.
Thank you.
But my thought is that about Phil and the Duck Dynasty show. Why are people upset about this, what he said, when this is what Christians believe, okay? Because we believe that
all Christians believe that gay people are the same as terrorists?
That is false.
No, we believe that there is such thing as sinful behavior, okay? And sinful behavior is in the Old and New Testament, okay? And homosexuals,
it is not in the New
that
Testament.
Behavior is condemned. And all he said, all I'm
Jesus never said anything about homosexuality.
We could go around and round about
and we still wouldn't find anything that Jesus said about gays.
Why is A&E, first of all, they're hypocrites?
No,
why
they
employ
him.
Someone for a show that is
Jeff, they did not fire him. They suspended him. They are his employer. It is their right to do it.
No, it's not their right to do it.
Yes, it is.
Most of these shows are vile, okay? They're vile anyway. You got Duck Dynasty, number
one. What do you mean?
Since
when is it an employer's right to suspend an employee for something? What do you mean that's not their right?
He didn't say it on the show.
Right, but he is a representative of that network.
Alec Baldwin just got fired for something he didn't say on his show.
And Alec Baldwin shouldn't have been fired. I'm very consistent.
Okay.
Right. Even Bashir saying that about Sarah Palin, I didn't agree with it. But he shouldn't have been fired for that. He shouldn't have been fired.
Right, well, at least you are consistent. I give you points for that. Bling. All right.
But he is a representative of the network, and if he, you know, causes harm to the network by saying something like this, they are within their rights to suspend him.
Right.
Absolutely.
Same as with Paula Deen.
Yep.
You know, they want to appeal to as many customers as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, all right. More importantly, Jim, there is a vaginal knitting performance artist.
Oh, thank God.
And we have not covered this yet. 19 minutes
finally.
After the, right. Filling a void, literally.
Yeah.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my, how ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. You know, every time I do a guy getting hit in the...
Yes.
Jim has to find America's Funniest Vaginal Mishaps. This is not a mishap, actually, Jim, because this was apparently on purpose. She is a vaginal knitting performance artist, as you are.
I see.
Uh-huh.
And how does that work exactly?
Well, funny you should ask. She posted a piece saying, over the past 2 weeks, over 3.5 million people have watched the YouTube clip of my 28-day performance, Casting Off My Womb. The short clip, which is titled Vaginal Knitting... Yep. Gives an overview of the work in which I used skeins of wool lodged in my vaginal tunnel to knit a long passage marking one full menstrual cycle.
Yeah. She shoved a ball of yarn up there and then knitted with it, you know.
Right. Okay. there is a purpose to this.
It is performance art, which is by its nature
not purposeful at all. Right. The whole purpose is not to have a purpose.
Right. She says the response to the clip was immediate, massive, and for the most part negative, marked with fear and repulsion. The word ick features heavily, as do ew, gross, and why. The nature of the response wasn't unexpected, but the scale of it was, and it's been fascinating to watch. Really? You shove a ball of yarn up your...
hoo-ha.
Your hoo-ha, and knit something, and you... apparently, there was a lot of menstrual stuff.
Yeah, there were some stains on it. I saw footage of it. Yeah,
yeah, it was a little, wow. Listen, she should know. Men can't even see that box on the back of the toilet without freaking out. Really? You think they're going to be able to watch you showing a ball of yarn up there? And
why do you leave the box on the back of your toilet? Well, you don't anymore.
How do you know? Now you're going to know because you're going to see all my toilets when we do the show from my house. You're going to be like, woo, that's like just a dust bowl. There ain't nothing.
Nope. Nothing on the back of that toilet.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Let's go to Steve in Denver City by the Bay. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
We love you, Denver City by the Bay.
Okay. I got to disclose I'm a 46-year-old white male conservative, but I do enjoy your show. I think you're pretty funny, and I just like to listen and, you know, get the other perspective.
Well, you know what? I would knit you a Christmas scarf in my vagina if I had time.
And I do find the topic of vaginal knitting absolutely fascinating.
Yeah,
so thank you for that.
Right, and who doesn't? Thank you.
The topic is the Phil Robertson situation with A&E. I heard the last caller in which you responded that you thought it was employer's right to terminate or
to suspend. He suspended him, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't terminate, they suspended him.
Right, suspend, based on what he said, which I think we all can agree that it was probably a set-up interview, which GQ knew his sentiments and targeted
him. He went on at length, and then his clarification was almost more offensive than the original thing he said.
Yeah, there was no setup. You're painting this guy as an idiot. He's not an idiot.
Yeah, I guess he probably knew, but I know GQ had an agenda too. But my point is, let's look at a scenario in which perhaps an employer.
He offered it. The question was not even about gays. Right. It was something that he was talking about sin, and I think they said like what, and he on his own unprompted brought up gays.
Yeah, on his own volition, he went forward with it. I got it. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious about what your thoughts are and what ultimately happened to him if he was suspended for what he said. So, A&E knows his beliefs. I would imagine the basis of the show is, I think, has a conservative flair to it, if you will. So A&E knows all that. So let's just flip the coin. Let's say you have a homosexual person who works at, let's say, Bass Pro, which is, an outdoor sports, hunting, fishing type store.
Got news for you. There are already gay people working at Bass Pro Shops.
What?
Okay, got it. and let's say, Bass Pro decided that, hey, listen, our target, our demographic is, white conservative guys that, make up most
that hate
of
gays?
Money.
Yeah, none of whom are gay, right?
What's that?
There's no white conservative guys that are gay?
No. Come on. Can we at least submit that maybe the majority of hunters out there are straight guys?
Not necessarily.
Well, the majority of the population is straight.
Yeah.
So
proportionately, they're gay guys.
Guys are all straight.
Yeah.
Interesting. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas!
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Annie in St. Paul on the vaginal knitting performance artist. Hello, Annie.
Hi, Mama. I knit for a living. I'm the professional sterile knitter of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yay.
I just knitted Chris a beer koozie with my vagina during the commercial break.
You are one in a million. And let me say, you're not a bad lesbian because it's easy, but because it's hard.
Right.
Right. Anyway, here's the thing. I'm not going to let anyone shove Merino up my hoo-ha to do any knitting.
All right. You know what? Just for that little skit, I'm giving you a $50 gift certificate to Sherry's Berries.
I love you too.
Hang on. To Travis. You can send strawberries this holiday season from berries.com. Click on the mic and enter the code name Stephanie. I just gave my friend some yesterday. Freaked out. They're huge. They're huge.
They're huge.
Huge. Juicy.
They're like the size of a baby's fist.
Right?
What?
Just edit there before you send it to them. Okay. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Matt in San Francisco, what? You're gay and you hunt. Are you
concerned? Hey, Stephanie. How's
Hello.
It going?
Well, not see, but I know what you're. What do you hunt, Matt?
I don't currently, but I want to say, first of all, it would be deer with a bow.
Oh, wow.
And about this whole Duck Dynasty thing, I love it. All right. So let me get this. First of all, let me say I had to stop. I'm the one that was stalking Chris and sexting him online. I had to stop out of respect for my boyfriend.
Good. Yes. Thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right. So I'm pretty sure we're at the back.
Unless you can knit him something with your penis, you just stand down, mister.
I don't think my boyfriend wants me to be knitting anything for anyone else with my penis these days.
All right. Okay. Go ahead.
But. You know, first of all, if your caller says the word hunting, they're not a real hunter. No right. one says hunting, it's hunting, first
right.
of all. Second,
okay.
I was trained to kill and gut a deer starting at the age of 10, hunter safety at 12, gun safety, again, 12, because you can't buy a real gun until you're 14. My nephew's gay, but he's in theater and drama and likes to make jean quilts. He uses a crossbow to kill a deer.
Where'd you grow up?
Michigan.
Oh, okay. All right. I was
backcountry Michigan, not Detroit.
Yeah, I was going to say not Knob Hill, so to speak. Right, San Francisco. Okay, let's go to Rick in Rockford. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Moose. How are you today?
Good.
My comment is, if you have a First Amendment right, like everybody complaining about Phil Robinson being suspended says, and if you have the right to say whatever you want, without repercussions from your employer, they can reinstate him when they reinstate Martin Bashir.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Dennis in South Carolina. Hi, Dennis. Welcome. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, guys. It just amazes me how the left, they preach tolerance and diversity, but the second you don't believe the same thing as they do, you know, you get smeared, demonized. I mean, it just
you don't think it's smearing and demonizing gay people to compare them to terrorists?
Oh, my goodness. He did not compare them to terrorists.
Yes, he did. In the same breath.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did, Dennis, in the same breath.
He said that he don't judge even terrorists. I mean, he was, you're stressing.
Right. He was lumping all people that do wrong, in his opinion, with gay people the same as terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the other people in the group.
Well, I disagree with you. But back to my main point.
Disagree? You can disagree with what he said? You disagree with what he said? Or you think
I disagree with you guys.
In what way?
That he compared gay people to terrorists. That's just absurd.
What do people mean when they lump in a group of groups of people like that as if they're the same?
Address my point instead of trying to divert the conversation
right.
here.
I apologize. Being that it's my show.
Why do you preach tolerance, but you can't? If I don't think the same way as you, I get smeared. I get demonized.
Because Dennis, gay people are not like terrorists. Okay.
Well, they're probably some gay terrorists.
You're diverting again.
No. No.
Yes, you are.
No, Dennis, we're explaining to you why the two things are very, very different.
Hey, you know what? I have the quote right in front of me. Here's what he said. Don't be deceived. Neither the adulterers, the idolaters, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, the swindlers, they won't inherit the kingdom of God.
He's talking about
right.
all sinners.
So which of these things is not like the other?
I mean, he's talking about everybody, heterosexuals, everybody, sinners. He's not just singling out gay people there.
Right. But if you were, let's just say, would you like to be lumped in that group if you were a gay person?
Well, I mean, I'm a heterosexual, so I guess I'm lumped in that group, too.
What? Are you one of the other things on the list?
Are you a drunkard? Are you a terrorist?
I'm just saying they're all sinners.
Sometimes I do drink too much alcohol. That's a fault of mine.
Okay, he went on to say, we never, ever judge someone on who's going to heaven or hell. That's the Almighty's job. We just love them, give them the good news about Jesus, whether they're homosexuals, drunks, terrorists. We let God sort them out later.
Do you realize how offensive that is, Dennis?
I used to be an alcoholic, okay? Uh-huh. That does not offend me. Why does that offend you as a homosexual?
You think it's the same thing being an alcoholic as being a terrorist?
Well, I think what he was saying is...
You're stretching.
Not a stretch. That's exactly what he said. He lumped all those people together in the same breath.
But I think he was saying that we're all sinners. That was his point, I think.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Well, and, I mean, my point is, with the left, you preach tolerance, but, you know, the second you go off your reservation, you're demonized, you're smeared, and you're just trying to.
You don't think that's demonizing gay people? Listen, you have a right to believe homosexuality is wrong. I disagree with you. But you have a right to demonize gay people like that?
You are demonizing them, Dennis, by saying that they're sinners.
A terrorist is a criminal. Do you think it's criminal to be homosexual?
No, it's not criminal to be a homosexual.
Why would anybody want to be... Right, that's what I'm saying. It's not the same thing. Why would you want to be lumped in with the terrorist that kills innocent people?
Know, why is there not
who are gay people hurting? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Why is there not an outrage with the Russian actor that said gays should be put in ovens this past week? I would stand toe-to-toe with you.
Absolutely there was outrage about that in the media.
It was barely a blip on the radar screen. Not like this. It's blown up in 24 hours. I will stand
Duck Dynasty is the number one show on cable television right now. He's going to attract a lot of attention for his insane comments.
It was his opinion.
Okay. First of all, obviously Russia has these homophobic anti-gay laws. So the fact that he's somebody that said that in Russia, of course he was condemned here, but he doesn't have an American television show. This is,
that's another thing that drives me insane is the term anti-gay. Okay, just because I'm pro-
It's not anti-gay to say gay people should be put in ovens?
Yes, that's anti-gay. That's my point.
Well, he's agreeing with you.
What the Russian said was anti-gay. What the CEO of Chick-fil-A said, that he's just simply for traditional marriage, Phil Robertson said, that's not anti-gay, that's just their opinion.
It's their opinion that homosexuality is sin. That's his
opinion. Right!
But terrorism? That's criminal!
No,
but he's
making a good point. I think that he sees, he's just saying that all people are sinners, and he thinks homosexuality is a sin. I wouldn't put it at the same level as terrorism,
why is Dennis in South Carolina trying to take away A&E's right to punish this guy for saying something that causes harm to A&E's brand?
Well, they definitely have a right to, to suspend him. Because
it's not the PC police, it's business.
Right.
Jason and exactly. Jason and Oregon, same as with Paula Deen.
Exactly.
They're like, guess what? We don't want to offend percentage of our viewers. Jason and Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good.
I really enjoyed listening to your show on the way into work, and wanted to chime in a little bit with more of a positive comment. A lot of people were trying to defend this guy with First Amendment rights, and I get that we have the right to free speech, but the right to free speech means the government won't infringe on that. It seems to me that the network that's carrying him are the ones that suspended him as a PR move. Mm-hmm. They have that same right to do that.
You're absolutely right, mm-hmm. Especially if there's a morality clause, I think they call it, in contracts.
Yeah, you're right to free speech, but if it starts hurting business,
if it causes harm to Amy's business,
this is what killed me when, Dr. Laura screamed First Amendment. It's like, no, you have the right to say the N-word 9 times in a row.
Right, but your employer also has the right to fire you if you cause harm upon their business.
Right, in a business where you're trying to sell advertising, and she quit her own multimillion-dollar contract. She didn't get fired. I mean, and that's the irony, is in many states, gay people can still get fired for being gay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just... Dana in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Dana.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to call and thank you guys so much. I started watching you guys on TV about a year ago or so, and I used to be a crazy Fox-watching nutbag.
I don't know, no reason.
I was ignorant. I was stupid. And my fiancé encouraged me to, you know, look at both sides. I know that sounds really trite. But the fact is, when I did and started thinking to myself, you know, it opened a whole new world for me. And I want to thank you guys so much for being there to help me along this journey to enlightenment.
Well, thanks. Now, welcome to the light. Welcome to the light. Join us.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
You
happy
too.
Everything you celebrate, guys. Thank you so much
you
for
too.
Being there.
And you can watch us. You can watch us again on Free Speech TV in the new year.
I know that's the best Christmas present.
Thank you, Dana. Your boyfriend,
you
your fiancé rocks. Okay.
He sure does.
All right. Love him. Oh, Rob Ford again. He is the gift that keeps on getting. See, I mean, somebody had to outdo the vaginal knitting.
The mayor of Regina?
Performance. He's exactly. Yeah, he's trying to outdo the vaginal knitting artist, performance artist.
Sorry, Toronto, not Regina.
No, Regina.
But Toronto isn't as funny as Regina.
And yet still a performance artist. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm very embarrassed for you for what goes on your show. It's just dirty stuff, and you all laugh so stupidly like a bunch of idiots.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie. Don't be a hero, don't be a fool if you like.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, I forgot. I left out some of the fun facts that Phil Robertson, things he compared gays to.
Okay.
I forgot. Bestiality also.
Nice.
Bestiality. There's no A in bestiality. Well, actually, there is one A.
Okay.
But not two A's.
Okay. Yes, I say cheers to A&E. They said we're extremely disappointed to have read Phil Robertson's comments in GQ, which are based on his own personal belief and not reflected in the series Duck Dynasty. His personal views in no way reflect those of A&E, who've always had been strong supporters and champions of the LGBT community. The network has placed Phil under hiatus from filming indefinitely. So that's where he started it. Start with when he was talking about sin. Start with homosexuality and just morph out from there. Bestiality or bestiality. If that's what you prefer.
That's the best
yellow. Adulterers,
we have.
Idolaters, male prostitutes, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers. And then that's when we got to homosexuals, drunks, terrorists. We just let God sort them out later. Okay. All right.
Whatever.
Well, at least they weren't at the top of the list.
Exactly. Okay. Zach in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Zach.
Hey. I was just going to call in regards to a previous caller that a lot of people on the right have a very bad misconception I want to clear up, and that is they always say that the left is tolerant about everything, and then they say we're hypocritical when they say something that's intolerant. Well, I just wanted to say that, no, the left is not tolerant about everything. In fact, the left does not have tolerance for intolerance. Mm-hmm. So that whole premise is wrong. If you say something that is inherently intolerant of other people, no, the left does not have tolerance for that. My head's kind of spinning from trying to say all that, but you get what I'm getting at.
Exactly. I get it. I do. I get your point. Okay. Let's go to Gene in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Steph. I just wanted to call and say that of all the ignorant, ugly, offensive things that Dennis from South Carolina said, that one that didn't get pointed out yet is that he talked about going off the reservation. So he also managed to slam Native Americans, which just offended the crap out of me.
Okay, yeah. See that.
Yeah, it would make my heart soar like a hawk if he would recognize that was offensive.
It.
What? I'm just saying. All right, Gene, thank you. Thank you.
Boy, you are dusty.
That's one of our PSAs that nobody hears.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jennifer in Fresno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jen.
Hello. All I can say is Ermigerd.
Ermigerd.
I mean, seriously, and I'm sorry, you are anti-gay. It's not that you're pro-traditional marriage, because let's face it, back in biblical times, you could get a wife for a couple of goats and a cow.
Yeah, that was pretty traditional.
Well, yeah, that's true. Although, last I checked, my husband didn't get me for goats and a cow, in which I guess he got the short end of the stick. it really bothers me to hear there. I'm sorry, you're spewing hatred, and then you're cloaking it in, oh, but I'm Christian, it's okay. No, it isn't. If you're truly Christian, and God, I wish that John Fugelsang was on today to talk about this.
Yeah.
But yesterday he was right with the divorce. I'm sorry if you're truly a Christian. I guess you can't believe in divorce because Jesus said stuff about divorce. He didn't say anything about homosexuality.
Yep, that's exactly right. Let's go to Mike in Denver. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi. Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, every time these guys start talking, they dig a deeper hole. I mean, they just kind of, they trip over themselves with their anti-gay, their, you know, their attitudes, and they don't want to be called out. They don't want to be asked to think about their attitudes, to you know, look at themselves and, you know, have a sort of a sense of what they're saying. They just want to get away with doing it, and when they get called out, the first thing they do is play victim.
Yeah,
and it's upsetting every time because you just really just want them to go, you know, stop it.
Yeah. I mean, it's hilarious. I've always said the apologies are worse. It's, you know, Paula Deen was essentially, I'm sorry if to any of the oversensitive N words I offended. I mean, it's really like, you know, that's always, I'm sorry if I offended someone. How is that not going to offend a gay person, comparing them to a terrorist or a drunk or whatever? All right. The good news is. It's almost Christmas, Jim, and we got a gift.
And now, on the phone from Chicago...
Hold on, everybody, it's Ruth Lemary.
Mayor, it's been too long. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I think you're making a little too much out of the Duck Dynasty thing.
I am.
Well, your station, I guess.
No? Okay.
I know everybody's offended about whatever somebody says.
How would you like it if I said long-haul truck drivers are just like terrorists and drunks?
What does that have to do with anything?
Because it's what your husband does, right?
Okay, I mean, right away you got to go to something stupid.
It's pretty stupid to compare gays to terrorists, isn't it, though?
You know what? I tell you, though. It's either with Hughes, black, gay, Indian, this, that. Mm. That's all you do.
So I should
bash,
only defend. I should
bash,
only defend
bash,
white people that are insulted.
Bash, bash. Oh, well, you know, why don't you?
That's
change
not
your
bashing gay
color?
People.
Change your skin color.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, I'm not John Boehner, you know.
Well, I'm just saying, change your skin color like Michael Jackson wanted to be white. You want to be black.
Well, he had vitiligo. He had a skin condition.
It means I want to be black if I think you shouldn't be racist?
He wanted to be white. Call a spade a spade.
He had vitiligo. He wasn't his fault.
No. Call a spade a spade.
Okay. I'm sure that's just a form of speech. All right. Okay. Oh, boy. All right. You know what?
Who thought that was a good idea?
I don't know. You looked at me, like, with an encouraging look in your eye, like, I should take it.
That didn't end well.
No. Like, so many decisions in my life. You know what?
At least we got a you-know-what from her.
Why don't you want to just make yourself big? Okay. What if I could? Okay. Scott and Raleigh, you're on the set.
Don't get me started on the Orientals.
I feel like the little brother in A Christmas Story trying to catch up to his big brother and his friends. everybody's kind of piling on, but I don't blame them. Why is it about conservatives that don't understand the First Amendment? That, yes, you have the right to say whatever you like, but I don't have to accept it. I get to tell you if what you say is stupid and intolerant.
Right.
I get to tell you it's stupid and intolerant.
Right.
And as far as the employer thing, if I wanted to work at Disneyland, I couldn't because I have a mustache and a beard, and it's their choice not to hire me because it's not consistent with what they want.
Actually, last year, they just started allowing people to work there with beards, but just the women.
Really?
Yes.
That's new. I moved out here from behind the orange curtain about 8 years ago, so I wasn't aware of that.
Okay,
so.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. All right. So, exactly. And are there a lot of, you go there a lot? Are there a lot of bearded?
I go there like at least once a month.
Are there a lot of beards there?
A few.
Oh, you saw
and
Michelle Bachman?
With facial hair. I saw Marcus Bachman.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. 6 minutes after the hour. Why? Because tomorrow's left end for vacation day. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. And also closer to this year being over.
Yep.
All right. The good news is I was eligible for upgrades. I have new gadgets. I have a new iPad Air because I was able to, you know, because I had to redo my cell phone thing.
Uh-huh.
And a new iPad Mini because I was eligible for upgrades. You can turn your old one in. They give you money and you get a new gadget. Jim has a bugaboo about, well, particularly texting while driving and people's addiction to their gadgets. I've gone on vacation with Roland Scahill, testicular exhibitionist and sexy liberal tour director.
Yes.
And we did not make eye contact for a week. However, I am not, he is not this woman. Tourist walks off pier while checking Facebook on phone. If someone on Facebook told you to take a long walk up a short pier, would you?
Apparently.
Yes. Monday night, Australian police had to rescue a tourist after she accidentally walked off a pier because she was checking her Facebook on her phone. When does he call
police? Status update.
Oh, my God. Who defriended me? Witnesses called police who found the woman 20 minutes later floating on her back because she could not swim. Initially, she apologized. She said, I was checking my Facebook page on the phone, and I've fallen in.
And I can't get up.
Right. She, according to police, she kept hold of her mobile phone through the entire ordeal.
Of course.
She did.
Yeah.
All the way to the
hospital. I'm drowning, but my phone is okay. Oh, God. What the hell is wrong with people?
I have to change my status update.
Okay. I'm wet. That's my status
That's
update.
My status update.
I'm wet
and still single. All right. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God.
Whatever.
You know about my, you know, Amazon addiction.
Yes.
And when I have the home studio in the new year, I literally will never leave my house. And Paula writes, Steph, you could have lots of free Amazon stuff. One of my sons is a high-level Amazon director and has been head over heels for you. When I told him your news a couple of years ago, he was crushed. But if you've changed your mind, he's still single. Oh, I could totally turn for an Amazon executive. Really? Oh, my God. Call me. Call me.
Him. Oh, dear God. It must be him.
Call me.
It must be him.
I got new poo bags and new Ugg boots on Amazon.
Well, how boot that?
How boot it?
Speaking of Canada, I'm just watching a video of Rob Ford dancing.
Yes.
Oh, have you
the
seen
reggae
that?
Dance.
Oh, wait. Let me skip ahead to that story because that is... you know what? We thought no one would outdo the vaginal knitting artist. But the mayor of Regina, huh? Regina.
Toronto.
Yeah. Rob Ford apologizes to a reporter for implying he's a pedophile, later dances in City Hall. Oh, dear. He kept his spirits up with a surprise dance party. He is Chris Farley, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And it wasn't dancing. It was more like moving all that weight around.
Yeah. It's like the skit on Saturday Night Live with Patrick Swayze. Right. Yeah, where he's the Chippendales dancer. The loose-lip Ford remains jovial and relatively unapologetic, which is odd for a Canadian,
on.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's what Canadians do best, is apologize. Sorry.
I apologized again.
Sorry. Oh,
sorry about that.
Okay. Sorry about the way I said sorry. The mayor, Mock, apologized to the speaker for calling council members corrupt. He said, how about, I'm so sorry. Is that as good as I apologize or so sorry? Which one do you want, Madam Speaker? Like super, 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 super sorry? So sorry? Oh, he is.
He's really sorry.
I'll be in my Mazda eating some pasta.
Then he issued an unsatisfactory apology to Toronto Star reporter for implying that he was a pedophile.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
And then later on the same day, he broke it down, as Jim said, in City Hall with other Toronto.
Although, Chris Farley could actually move.
He actually
was very agile for such a big guy.
Yes. It is a love letter from Commie Bastard in San Francisco. Staff, I am a Commie Bastard. That's what people call me, and it stuck, so I just changed my name to Commie Bastard.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to you all the time. You and the Mooch are definitely not Commie Bastards. No way. You're warmed over liberal bastards. Oh, thank you. I like you anyway, but you could use a bit more class consciousness and understand that no real change can or will come about until the workers get up and change the system in a revolutionary democratic movement. I just want you to know that. Until then, until the revolution comes, you and the Mooks are the best thing going. Until the revolution. Oh, and you are easy on the eyes, too. That can't hurt. Commie Bastard in San Francisco. Thank you, Commie. Appreciate it. Hmm. Okay, looking for a warmed-over liberal.
Well, you know.
Bastard person. Okay. Steve writes, Steph, I was about to buy my tickets for a second time at Sexy Liberal Phoenix. Coming up in February, tickets going fast.
I can't wait for that.
With Carlos Elsraffi, whole new Sexy Liberal show in 2014. I was wondering, if I get Meet and Grow Up again, would you sign a box of wine for me?
Computer says yes.
Yes. Phoenix, come on.
Stephanie Miller is an American political commentator, comedian, and host of The Stephanie Miller Show.
Haven't I read that somewhere before?
May I continue? Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour brings together three liberal comedians for an evening of liberal humor and comment.
That's it. You're lifting the script straight from Wikipedia. Here, let me do this. On Saturday, February 15th, the original Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Phoenix, Arizona, and will perform live at the Orpheum Theater.
The Orpheum Theater is a 1,364-seat theater.
Seriously, knock it off. Tickets are available by going to Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss your chance to see the authentic, one-of-a-kind, never-copied Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. February 15th, live at the Orpheum Theater.
Yeah.
Get your tickets now. Go to Ticketmaster.com.
Yeah, yeah, get it. And then Madison in March is, I believe, sold out, except for a couple little floaty tickets, maybe. Albuquerque in May.
That's right.
Also going very fast.
And Phoenix in February is lovely.
Oh, it's beautitious.
At least we're not there in August.
Whoosh.
All right. Greg in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi. Steph? Good, go ahead.
I don't really, because it's kind of asinine to speak on whether these people are idiots, like Phil Robinson. I watch his show, I think he's funny, but it's funny because he's a redneck, and I'm from the South, and I get it.
Right.
But I wonder why people are shocked that are some of his views when they started coming out in season two or three, all talking about the Christian thing. Now they prayed, okay, big deal. But my thing is, when you start preaching, you're taking it a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. So my deal is simply this. It appears to me that all law, all except for safety measures, all laws, statutes, ordinances are designed by the oppressor because they want to feel comfortable. So anything that doesn't feel comfortable, they make a law against it. Even though a lot of those laws that they make against things, even back to religion, those laws were designed by people who were basically looking inside themselves at what bothered them about themselves and projecting it outwardly. So what happens is you've got people who, because they're in a position of power, they can outlaw things that they readily do themselves. It seems like every week some family first, conservative, whatever, comes out about homosexuality or something, and then you find out they're in the closet.
Yeah.
It's craziness to me. But here's the part that bugs me the most. What bugs me the most is when a group of people, let's say so-called African-Americans, blacks, Negroes, whatever. I'm black, Negro, African-American, by the way.
Oh, all three. Yikes.
Wow.
I'm all of them. Right. I figured I'd take them all.
Nicely done.
I'm inclusive, if you will.
Yeah.
So what bothers me is when an oppressed group gets a minuscule amount of freedom, power, liberty, whatever, they start oppressing as well. I find it so interesting that happens, and I just don't get it, because it's all about what makes you feel comfortable.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, Kyle in Albuquerque says, Mom, I'm so tired of people saying Phil Robertson's First Amendment rights are being violated.
They're
first,
not.
The government isn't sanctioning him. A&E is. Second, no one's saying he can't say all the ignorant, hateful things he wants. He's free to go on any TV, radio, magazine that'll have him spew all the ignorance and hate he likes, but freedom of speech is not necessarily guaranteed freedom of audience.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, words have consequences.
Yeah, exactly. Kenny Pick in Cleveland. Hey, Kenny. Welcome.
Well, hello, and I'm a proud gold level supporter of the Indiegogo thing.
Yay.
Over on, yeah, which I believe only has about 60 hours, 60 hours left to do.
60 hours left.
Aw, yep. Thank you, sweet pea. Yeah, so, go to, by the way, we have the link up at Stephanie Miller's show. Yeah, we've got one day left in the fundraising drive for Free Speech TV to bring Mama and the Mooks back to TV. I'm just saying, any of my rich liberal Hollywood friends are listening.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very exciting.
Somebody donated $10,000.
Really?
But, I think it was a law firm or something.
And isn't there like a dinner with you for that level of giving?
Yeah, there's a lot more than that.
Yeah, we can make out or something at Madison.
Yeah.
So
a little reach around, little
yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Mama. On the all these conservatives out there that love the corporation so much. Guess who the first organization? Oh, I'm sorry, people. Since corporations are people,
right.
First people to take away your rights, like your first and second ones, usually corporations, because they don't like you bad-mouthing the company or making them look bad or walking into work with a gun, unless you're a cop or something like that.
Right.
So, but yeah, and I also want to say Road Flair Mary sounded really good. Next time she's on, can you try and get her to do a Muttley lap?
Yes. That's what I've been sounding ever since the bronchitis.
Oh, God, you just did damage to your...
You know what? Okay, 17 minutes after the hour. Yeah, my doctor would ban the Road Flair Mary impression.
Yeah, don't do that again, please.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm getting ready for my close-up on Free Speech TV. Yeah.
Yes, but we're not on TV yet.
I have my public to think of. Oh, I'm a sad little woman. Okay, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Kyle in Albuquerque with some other good thoughts on the Duck Dynasty guy.
Okay.
Ironically, the same people supporting him are usually carrying on about personal responsibility. Well, responsibility has consequences. Phil is personally responsible for what he said and is just experiencing the consequences.
That's right.
So there, meaner. Okay, Danny in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Danny.
Hi.
Hi.
That one lady that was on earlier that sounded like she's been, like, chain-smoking for about 2,000 years.
Road Flair Mary.
Road Flares, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I wonder how we ended up with those Tea Party people, because normally when you ask them to explain themselves, they just, I don't know, it's like they've read something and they memorized it and they just repeat it.
Right.
But then you wonder how they get elected. Well, then you hear people like her and that's how you know how they got elected.
Yeah. Well, you act like it's not a good argument to ask me why I don't make myself black.
maybe she never really has heard of vitiligo.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
how do I argue with that? All right. I think. All right. Andrew in Nebraska, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, I'd just like the caller before me. I want to comment on that lady. She is in no way indicative of the attitude of the modern day truck driver on the roads right now. Speak for myself, as quite and few of my other colleagues from the counters of the truck stop diners, too, even on the CB radio.
Yeah.
We
have previously speculated, Andrew, that I'm not sure he is a truck driver. I think he just tells her that so that he can be away for long spaces.
I can't blame him for that.
Yeah. he may just be driving an empty truck back and forth across the country. Oh, this one's a mayor. This is going to be a while. This is a long haul.
I'm driving to China.
But as far as the Duck Dynasty guy is concerned, is anybody really surprised that jackass said that? Can you imagine what it's got to be like to be one of their handlers following them around when there's cameras on them?
Oh, yeah. I know.
I know. Exactly. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, we have speculated what he sounds like on his CB talking to his buddies.
10-4, good buddy.
He put on a Strom Thurmond mask. Got him all dead inside. Okay, Diana in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Diana.
Hi. I just wanted to call and let you guys know I think it's wrong
the way the media and you, per se, are twisting this whole Duck Dynasty issue around.
Twisting? I was just quoting his words exactly. I just read his exact quotes.
Can I just finish for a second? I have friends who are gay. I am Hispanic. I am from New York. I live in North Carolina now. I haven't watched one episode of Duck Dynasty. And what I'm hearing right now from everyone is that it was a hateful rant. It was insulting to the gay community. And I think he was baited by GQ magazine by asking him the question. He merely was explaining his religious beliefs. If you're asking,
but they didn't bring up gay people. He did.
Yeah.
He was talking about his religious beliefs.
Sure.
If you ask him about his Christianity, and he's going to explain to you what he believes is a sin, then that's what it is.
Really? And it's necessary for him to talk about a man's anus and call gay people terrorists?
Listen, I myself have gay friends. That good if for you ask me if someone had asked me the same question, I would say, you know what, I don't believe that it is a normal thing, but, you know, if that's what they do, then that's what they do. I will not persecute, I will not insult, I will not anything. And actually, he's put into the same category as Paula and Martin. There were inappropriate comments. She went off with the N-word. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear Phil saying anything, you know, calling them the F word or anything like that. The same with Martin.
Okay, so that's the only you can call a gay person a terrorist, but as long as you don't call them the F word.
But he didn't. That's the problem. He was mainly, he was not grouping.
He compared them to a lot of groups of people, right, including drunks and adults.
Well, it's not that he was
adulterers.
Comparing them.
He was giving you an example of a sinner and what he believes in his religion.
How would you like it if he said that about Puerto Ricans?
I'm not Puerto Rican.
Well, whatever,
so you're stereotyping me right now.
You said you said you were Hispanic from New York. I thought you said Puerto Rican. You know what I'm saying. How would you like it?
And that's the thing. That's
right,
the
but
thing.
I'm a gay person. How do you think I feel? Okay.
Do you think it's within A&E's rights to suspend or fire him for causing damage to their brand?
I absolutely do. I believe that they're given right, but it's not because it's damaging to their products, because I have never even heard of A&E before that show came on. So
really?
Their viewers are on there, and their ratings are high because of that show. So it has not damaged anything to them.
Well, yes, but they feel that now it's going to. That's why they...
Right.
He didn't make these comments till now.
He made them through an interview in GQ when asked about
his
religion.
He was representing A&E doing that.
It's not like GQ said, oh, by the way, do you think gays are more like terrorists or drunks? What do you mean he was baited into it?
He was not baited into anything.
Oh, for God's sakes. Okay,
he's a smart man. He's a multimillionaire businessman. He's not stupid. Stop portraying him as stupid and being baited into something.
Hello, Brian in New York.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, so I guess I look at it a little bit differently. I'm looking at it not so much as he was being baited, or so much that what she said might be on a personal level insulting to individuals. I think I'm more upset with hypocrisy in that we're willing to hear other people's beliefs as long as it doesn't make us feel upset personally. And, you know, I don't agree with what you said.
What a lot of people on right-wing radio say, but I don't think they should be thrown off the air. I mean...
Well, that argument, then Phil shouldn't have been thrown off the air. And, I mean,
that's up to A&E.
Right, but it's up to A&E.
Yes, that's A&E's decision, as it is their right. But with that being said, it's also going to be in response to consumers' right to say, well, if you're going to take off this individual, then we're going to maybe...
It absolutely is. That's the way capitalism works.
Gordon writes, you people on the left preach tolerance, so how dare you not be completely tolerant of someone else being an intolerant jerk? You're right. Thank you, Gordon. Our bad. I'm sorry. We are intolerant of intolerance.
I hate intolerant people.
Yes.
Bastards.
Okay.
Can't stand it. They should be fired immediately.
All right. Good news is Bob Seska of the Daily Banter joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, I don't know what to say, except it's Christmas, and we're all in misery.
I haven't done any shopping of any kind.
Good luck with that.
I can't afford it. I had to buy myself a radio studio. All right, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Speaking of, well, you know, it's Christmas miracles direct from Hawaii. It's a blue Hawaiian Christmas because Bob Seska joins us now from the Daily Banter. Good morning, Bob Seska.
Good morning, Stephanie. I'm so glad that right before Christmas, we're all having a debate about Phil Robertson's views on anus.
Yes. Yes.
Kind of appropriate. In the
Why did he have to get so graphic?
Yeah, that was a little, wow, not for the kids. Zoinks. By the way,
you should stick to duck anus.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, I don't venture, I'm not brave enough to venture into the areas of the interwebs that you do, but... Alex Jones posts insane anti-Obama rant. Commenters post insane assassination threats. I can only imagine how crazy his posts are. So the comments, even the comment section on Yahoo, as Jim says.
It's entirely peopled by Yahoos.
Right. So but I can only imagine the layers we're getting to in the commenters on Alex Jones' website.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty insane. And evidently what I learned since posting that review of this manifesto is that that evidently this happens all the time. That this is nothing to be seen here because every time Alex Jones posts something on InfoWars, all of his commenters jump in and start fantasizing about killing the president.
And this is
ordinary. This is something that happens all the time.
Yikes. You said just checking in on Alex Jones is like gazing through a one-way mirror into a locked room full of whacked-out tweaking meth addicts with nothing else in the room except a DVD player and a screwdriver. you know you're going to see and hear some insane things, and that DVD player is doomed. But so this is his Infowars.com?
Yes, InfoWars, or Prison Planet, one or the other. They're basically the same thing. But, he posted this, what can only be termed as a manifesto. It was called Brand Obama Totalitarianism 2.0. Mm. And it was this screed listing all of these charges against the Obama administration and the, of course, global cabal, featuring the Trilateralist Commission and chemtrails and whatever else.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically coming to the conclusion that the president's a dictator, and he's also a teleprompter reading sock puppet.
Right.
And and then everyone just dove in, and it was one comment after another, like, lock and load, these traitorous people need to be hanged. I noticed particularly the hanging metaphor.
Yeah, lynching.
Was quite
very nice. Very nice.
It was quite prominent. It bring to mind the lynching dog whistle, but that was... That was intermixed within lots of things about shooting the president with 2 cent Chinese bullets, by the way.
Yeah, and somebody tried to outdo the hanging guy because that's very subtle, the whole lynching. on Christmas.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I prefer today, but I said it on Christmas. What a gift that would be. That's nice.
Yeah, nice people.
Yeah.
Nice folks.
Yeah, and a lot of gun folks. One of them you said says I have an AR-15 and 308s alike. And he was talking about headshots, getting very specific. This is a lot of Secret Service visits, isn't it? Just in this first page that I'm looking at you.
Well, what's staggering to me, Stephanie, is that these people actually were able to purchase guns.
I mean,
at some point they walked in and took a federal background check, and they passed. Nothing screams out to me more that we need to reform the background check system than the fact that these wackaloons were actually able to purchase AR-15s. Not just one, but this one guy has multiple AR-15s, at least he claims in this comment. He could be lying, but I'll take him at his word. He owns many, many AR-15s, the Sandy Hook weapon, and he was somehow able to purchase them via the background check system at a state level and the federal level.
I think the first question should be, are you planning to shoot the president?
That might be something to float out there. By the way, are you a fan of Infowars.com? Yeah.
And when someone asks you that question, you say yes.
Right.
All right, you're good.
And you say it's hilarious to see the traitorous accusation banding around by people who want to kill the president. That's right there. They're a little irony deficient.
Exactly. And then, of course, we had several examples of this what could be the most bizarre Alex Jones conspiracy theory, that there are shape-shifting lizard people from outer space.
I've heard that.
Who are manipulating world events on Earth.
I suspect Cindy McCain is one of them, but I'm not sure.
There were Charles Krauthammer. And,
I think she did unhinge her jaw at one debate, I'm almost certain.
There are lots of mentions of that. That's my favorite thing about Alex Jones' comment thread,
awesome.
Is the repeated mention of the lizard people conspiracy theory, which is, it makes the weather weapons and cyclotronic warfare conspiracy theory seem kind of normal and acceptable.
Hmm. Now, you say it wouldn't be an Alex Jones comment thread if there wasn't a guy who called the president a chimp.
Yeah.
And he writes, let's hope this is the last time ever America gets a chimp, a liberal communist traitor, no less, in the White House.
A liberal and a communist. Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Where do you get your political science degree?
Hmm. Right, because the lynching remarks
was too subtle. Right.
Subtle enough. Yeah.
You say, I realize he's crazy, Alex Jones, but come on, every single one of these maniacs ought to be similarly deleted and blacklisted. Even on a website like InfoWars, threatening to assassinate the president ought to be blacklist-worthy trespass. But as you say, this is what it's come to. You doubt that'll happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think since the president's first inauguration, I mean, this has been part of a long trend of eliminationist rhetoric coming from this group of people where, it's okay now to bring a firearm to, a rally outside a presidential speech. Or it's okay now to go around talking about violently overthrowing the government. This is all acceptable somehow. And I don't know how possibly that could be true. Or it makes me think back about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And wonder if this kind of language was acceptable 10 years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, to simply criticize the president, to say, well, the president's, doing the wrong thing in Iraq or whatever, that was, a traitorous, worthy trespass. I mean, that was something
FYI,
by Congress. Yeah.
George Bush did look a lot like a chimp. If you ever looked at BusherChimp.com.
Yes.
I know. I mean, this is
Watch What You Say, Ari Fleischer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and this is what it's come to. They call him, this black socialist that's giving free stuff, all our stuff to people, and yet Santa can't be black on Fox News. So I don't know what we've come to, Bob.
Yeah, what does the Duck Dynasty guy say about Santa Claus's race?
Yeah, I bet he has some thoughts.
You know,
Bob,
what?
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We will...
Melikalikimaka.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Stephanie.
And mahalo. Okay, talk to you next year.
Bye-bye.
Hey!
What?
Speaking of Fox News and the war on Christmas,
what?
By the way, obviously that crosses the line into dangerous, that kind of the rhetoric on Alex Jones and these right-wing... How about this one? War on Christmas trademark. Overdrive. San Francisco school harassed over hoax story.
Yep.
This Mediaite brings us the story. In the war on Christmas, there's no time for breaks or facts, apparently, because the Merry Christmas Warriors berated a school for an outrageous story about a student getting suspended for wishing his atheist teacher Merry Christmas. It was scandalous, horrible, and completely, utterly false.
Yep.
Yes, a hoax story on the satirical news site National Journal fooled some angry Christians into harassing a San Francisco school. The story resulted in email tirades and more than 75 phone complaints and veiled threats of violence against the fictitious teacher or the actual principal, and taxpayers picked up the tab for the beefed up security and staff to deal with this phony war on Christmas story.
Well, that's the teacher's fault for being fictitious.
Right.
Had it coming.
Right.
Sheesh.
Sheesh. Time for another dispatch. From the war on Christmas. Let's
coming this December on PBS, the new documentary series, Dispatches from the War on Christmas.
Dear Mr. Claus, it has come to our attention here at Coke Industries that you intend to provide chunks of free coal to an unspecified number of naughty children this year. Free coal, Mr. Claus, is most definitely not the way of American enterprise. As you may know, sir, Coke Industries owns all the coal, and we don't give it away to anybody, especially some kid with the chilblains. It makes them lazy and stupid like they already are. Our legal team will soon be in touch to file a cease and desist from this practice within the borders of the United States. We are also aware that the North Pole is not a sovereign country and have obtained exclusive rights to tow it over to Siberia and let those teeming communist hordes grind it to pieces. Sincerely, David H. Koch.
Dispatches from the War on Christmas. Coming this December on PBS.
All right. Thank you, Kenny Pickshape and P.S. Mueller. What's not the spirit of Christmas about this? Could I have some Christmas music, please? Boy 11 punches grandmother over toy denial.
Oh.
Dayton, Ohio. An 11-year-old boy is accused of punching his grandmother in the nose after she refused to buy him a Rock'em Sock'em robot, ironically. The 60-year-old woman told police the boy tried to punch her a second time in a Target store. She was in Target. She's got bigger problems.
Yeah.
If somebody just stole all her credit card information.
But yeah, 40 million credit cards information has been breached.
Wow.
But she was able to run away from him. A witness called 911 after seeing the incident unfold. Just layers and layers and layers of Christmas irony in there, like a big Christmas fruitcake. All right. 'Tis the season. 45 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Pajamagram. Why am I talking like Road Trim, Larry? Because I'm still sick. Hi, Karen.
You know
and
what?
Yeah. Hi, Karen. Mama. Hey, Karen.
You know, it's really sad when the atheist has to teach Christianity. You know? Okay, let's go back to Sunday school, everyone. What did Jesus say about judge not let, you know, or to the fallen woman, actually, you know, he without
judge not,
sin
lest you be judged.
No, he said he without sin shall, you know, cast the first stone.
Right.
Now, come on, guys. If any of you have sin, don't have sin, go ahead. Throw the stone, guys. Nobody could. You know, and it's like, you know, the only thing he ever really got mad about is when rich people screwed the poor and hurt the poor and all that. Mm-hmm. And the only thing he ever said was the two things that is consistent through the Bible. Love God and love your fellow man.
Yeah.
It is in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Nothing changed. That's standard Judaism.
You don't hear much about throwing the money changers out of the temple these days, do you?
Well, it was anything about money. He was like, you know, because let's face it, the man was poor.
Right.
Those were his peeps. And it's right. Like, you know, I'm kind of sick. I'm kind of sick and tired of people, you know, not understanding it. But you kind of have to forgive them, because let's face it, most of the people who preach to them are woefully uninformed because they don't get degrees in theology anymore.
They're
lay preachers now, and they don't even understand the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. And there's also the whole thing about the camel and the eye of the needle and
whatever.
Flavin.
And the coat of 1,000
colors.
I'll
get it wrong because I am
black.
Huh? No, drunk. No, if I could make myself black, I would.
Okay, gotcha.
According to Rose,
I see. Yes.
Why don't you just do it? Why just go be black? Go be with your blacks.
Okay. At least I did not try to shove $1,100 in champagne down my pants.
Well, I'm sure you've tried before.
Well.
Is that one really expensive bottle or a
no,
lot of bottles?
No, I'll explain because I found this fascinating. The headline is just because you can fit $1,100 in champagne down your
pants does not mean you should. Okay.
Right.
To quote Jeff Goldblum.
Right. Liquor store Englewood, Colorado. Out $1,100 in bubbly. They caught a man on the store security camera shoving the bottles down his pants. This clerk is on the ball. He made it out of the store without being caught, despite the fact that he struck up a conversation with the clerk before he left. Apparently, the conversation did not include Do you by any chance have a bunch of bottles of champagne in your pants?
Clackety,
you,
clackety, clack, 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 clackety.
Or do you have a severe case of elephantiasis?
Here's your answer. It was only three bottles. They were really good champagne.
Okay.
All right. They got a Cristal and some other fancy things I haven't heard of because I can't afford it. Okay.
You've had the Cristal before, though, haven't
you? The Chandon is fine.
What?
The Chandon is just fine.
The Moet.
Yes.
Cold Duck.
Okay, you know my
Cold Duck Dynasty.
My black friend Rodney.
Yes.
He was at a friend's house.
Did he make himself black?
No, he makes me call him that. Uh-huh. It's a power thing.
Right.
But anyway, he was at a friend's house, and the friend said, "Would you like some champagne?" Rodney said, "Yes." And the friend said, "Okay, I have Dom and I have Moet." And Rodney said, "I would like the Dom, please." And the friend said, "Well, you're getting the Moet." And Rodney said, "Well, you might as well give me toilet water."
Wow.
Yikes.
A wine snob. Okay.
A little bit, yes.
All right, so we've been talking about the Duck Dynasty guy. Speaking of people stepping in, did you see new Obama advisor John Podesta? Sorry for comparing House GOP to a deadly cult. And by that, he meant he apologized to deadly cults. No, he didn't. He apologized on Twitter, saying, "My snark got in front of my judgment." Politico had asked him earlier in the fall about the White House using the executive order because they were blocking everything. Right. He said they need to focus on executive action given the fact they're facing a second term against the cult worthy of Jonestown in charge of one house of Congress. Eric Cantor got an incredible bitch face over the whole thing.
That's just not
he
right.
He said this type of appalling.
And
inflammatory rhetoric is a very troubling sign of how this White House plans to govern over the next 3 years.
I'm so troubled by this troubling event. My bitch face has got bitchier.
How did I know that he would actually use the word appalling?
I'm appalled.
That is appalling.
Absolutely appalling. No, I have to leave. I'm late for a mani-pedi.
Because my cuticles are appalling. They
are
horrid.
Oh, look at my cuticles. They're just abysmal.
John in Los... Hey, John in L.A. Hi, John.
Hi there. Just really quick. I read the comments from the Duck Dynasty stars. I don't watch that show, but I was wondering if you heard the response from... I guess there was a gay couple on a Storage Wars. Did you hear that response?
No.
Basically, again, I thought it was funny. Basically, this couple said, "Well, the stars never tried the man butt." He says it was tighter, and so, which again, I thought it was funny.
Good God! It's like that cat that photobombed that wedding. Now that is tight. That is literally tight as a cat's ass.
That's right.
You have that expression? Here, look. Get a look at that. Huh? What do you think?
Check it out. Okay. By the way, speaking of appalling, you know the affluenza DUI case? You know the kid that got probation for drunk driving and killing poor people because he was too affluent. Yeah, he was suffering from affluenza.
I'm too rich to go to prison.
He could still serve time in jail if prosecutors have their way. The DA's office asked the juvenile judge to incarcerate Ethan Crouch, 16, on two counts of intoxication assault, for which there has been no verdict. He was sentenced to 10 years probation after he stole the beer and then drunk driving killed the four people. And he had three times the illegal adult limit and Valium in his system.
Oh,
the psychologist, Dick Miller, argued during his trial that... he was a product of too much privilege and had been not been reprimanded and was therefore not responsible for his action. He's a product of affluenza.
Right.
In an interview on CNN, he said, "I wish I hadn't used that term."
Thank you.
You really? Did you not think that might piss a few people off? Yeah.
He's a sociopath.
Oh, by the way, ABC News report learned from court records his parents have had a number of previous charges against them, alleged misdemeanors, most of them traffic-related. The mother had 5 charges while the father had 22 incidents. And they were mostly dismissed or paid with fines. Isn't that nice? So that happened. All right, tomorrow we have a big show because we need to discuss whether Kim Kardashian waxed her baby's eyebrows.
Yes, there's that.
Right? And it's the last day before vacation, so anything could happen. So you won't want to miss it. All right. That's it for us. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy Chris LeBoy, voice DD Jim Ward, Travis Bone, who is mean as a Fresno snake, according to our... emailer this morning.
But everybody in Fresno is mean, according to our emailer this morning.
He will be back tomorrow in Surly on the Stephanie Miller Show.